Our scripture reading is found in Matthew 5, verses 1 and following. This is our last time through the Beatitudes, but hopefully not the last time you read them and live by them. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up to the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and minds this morning. Well, this morning we come to the last two of the Beatitudes. Blessed are the peacemakers and blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. First, I want to get started with something a little funny. I heard about this mother who was preparing pancakes for her two sons. Kevin was 5 and Ryan was 3, and the boys began to argue over who would get the first pancakes, and the mother saw this as an opportunity to teach a moral lesson. So she said, "If Jesus were sitting here, he would say, 'Let my brother have the first pancake. I can wait.'" Well, Kevin turned to his younger brother without missing a beat and said, "Okay, Ryan, you be Jesus." And it reminds us that mothers are often peacekeepers in addition to all the other roles that mothers have. It reminds us, too, that these Beatitudes are very practical and ask us to live out the teaching of Jesus in a practical way, though it is often a challenge. And so we continue with these two, which really built on all the ones previous. So just a reminder, this is Jesus' really first sermon that we have recorded in the Gospels. It's less than 2,000 words, but it's had a tremendous impact on human history. And this heart of it, which is the Beatitudes, is probably less than 200 words, and it really is really the heart of the matter in which everything else is based. And the first four of the Beatitudes are really sort of inward attitudes in a way. First of all, blessed are the poor in spirit, or those who are humble. That's sort of the fallow ground in which God's word and spirit can grow in our lives. Blessed are those who mourn. It reminds us that God himself comes around us and comforts us in our sorrow. Blessed are the meek. Meek is a quality of strength that is gentle but powerful, like a tamed horse that can channel its strength. And blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. We talked about kind of outward from there, which is blessed are the merciful, for they will see mercy. And you can't just have mercy in your heart. You have to act that out in our lives. And then we talked about blessed are the pure in heart as sort of a singleness of purpose that we have in our lives as we live that out. And this morning, obviously, there's outward action that's involved, and blessed are the peacemakers, and blessed are those who are persecuted. So the first thing to say is blessed are the peacemakers. The peace comes from the Hebrew word shalom. You've probably heard shalom before. And shalom is more than just the absence of violence or the absence of war. It really has to do with peace also in our inner life and absence of anger and violence and also justice for people. And the Greek word that's used here is the word eirene, which is also has that same kind of overtone, not just the absence of violence, but also peace between ourselves and God, sort of a serenity, actually a unity that's involved there too, and the absence of hate and anger. And so it's very holistic. And so we look at this. We think about peacemaking, and I think when you think about peacemaking, it really often involves some of the previous Beatitudes. It involves mercy and forgiveness. It involves a sort of a purity of heart. And I also think this time of year, when you look around the countryside here, and I love watching the farmers, I don't necessarily love farming, though I love now and then getting a ride on a combine or a tractor or a truck, but when you think about the idea of planting seeds this time of year, and so the farmers go out and with a certain amount of faith, they plant seeds with the right amount of dirt and water and fertilizer and sunlight and the right weather, then over time, a harvest comes. It grows and then it yields its fruit and then it's harvested. And I think in the same way, that peace is often planted by seeds. Seeds that we act out, and sometimes they're small things, but they really grow in our life and in the world, and tremendous things can happen. James, I don't know that James was a farmer, but he was an apostle, and James uses this metaphor in James chapter 3, verses 18, and he says this, "Those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of goodness." That's a great metaphor, isn't it? And I think oftentimes we underestimate the little things that we do in our life and maybe even around the world that can create peace over time. And it takes amount of patience and it takes some faith. There's a story that I love about this young boy by the name of Heinz. And back in 1934, he was a young Jewish boy. He lived in Bavaria in a town called Furth. And at 11 years old, the whole Hitler movement was rising, particularly the Hitler Youth, and often the youth would run through the neighborhoods beating up young Jewish boys and causing a lot of difficulty. And so a number of times, this young Heinz tried to avoid fights, and he got in a fight sometimes. But then he learned that over time, that words could create peace. And one particular time, a group of bullies came up to him, were going to beat him up. And then instead of fighting back, he learned to say some words of peace. And he stood up for his rights, but he did it by saying words that were persuasive and offered a word of peace and compromise. And that was a lesson that he never forgot. Later on, his family was lucky enough to move from Bavaria and find their way to America. But he never forgot the lesson that he learned about working towards peace and words that can bring peace. And so in the 80s and 90s, he became a global figure that worked towards peace. You probably don't know him as Heinz, but as Henry Kissinger. And his life spoke of negotiation for peace and what words can bring. And so I think sometimes that lesson is learned early in life. Sometimes mothers teach us that. But we learn to plant seeds of peace in a powerful way. Jesus wasn't just saying this. Jesus often did this in his life. And you think of the kind of gestures that Jesus did to bring about peace in the small ways. I mean, Jesus, after all, washed the feet of Judas, who was going to betray him. We think for a moment, too, about Matthew and how Jesus, instead of scorning him like the rest of society, had dinner with him, even though others mocked him for doing that. And we think how Jesus reached out in a kind of an act of peace to Mary Magdalene when others were going to stone her to death because she was a person of ill repute, and yet Jesus offered her forgiveness and grace. And so those people's lives were touched in a powerful way. You and I can also have an opportunity to plant seeds of peace. And sometimes it's just the little things that we do. Offering sometimes a listening ear or a caring heart. Sometimes we can bridge a gap maybe of racism or prejudice or something else in someone's life and just make a difference. Maybe we can forgive someone and make a difference in their life. Jesus not only did a small act of forgiveness, but Jesus also gave his life that we could know peace between ourselves and God our Father. Jesus brought justice and reconciliation on the cross and the hope of eternal life. And Jesus said this in John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you, I do not give as the world gives you." So blessed are the peacemakers. They will be called children of God. And then probably the hardest one of all is blessed are the persecuted. And Jesus says this, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who went before you." We talked about how that blessed quality is not just sort of a happiness quality, but it's something that transcends that. I mean, we can bless God by our actions and by our prayers. We can bless others, and we can be a blessing to others. And certainly in no area is this more important than when we talk about blessed are the persecuted for righteousness' sake. It is important that Jesus qualifies that and said persecuted for righteousness' sake, and it reminds us that we need to stand up for what is right and true and just in our world. And when we do that, it is sometimes the case when we will meet resistance, maybe even be persecuted. It reminds us that some people around our world are persecuted today for their faith. They don't enjoy the freedoms that we have. And it's sort of ironic that it comes after blessed are the peacemakers, because you see, if you stand up for peace and justice, sometimes you'll be persecuted. But when you think about it for a moment, I mean, think of the people down through the Bible ages and even today who've been persecuted for their faith. Think about Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. They were taken away from as young teenagers and taken away to Babylon, which was an empire that had conquered Israel and really destroyed Jerusalem and the rest of the countryside.
And they had to stand up for their faith. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had to stand up for their faith or be threatened to be thrown into a fiery furnace. Daniel had to stand up for his faith and be threatened to be thrown into a lion's den. You think about how they were able to stand strong because of their faith in God. I think also about Esther, a young woman who became queen, and she had to go before the king and plead for the life of all of Israel. They were about to be persecuted and killed, and she knew that if she went into the king unannounced, that her life could be taken if he didn't answer her request. And so she pleaded before the king for the life of all the Israelites, and she, because of her faith and her strength, was able to persevere and to stand up for them. And you think of the Apostle Paul and how he had to go to prison eventually because of his testimony. He was a martyr as well. And Paul said this as he was writing to the church at Ephesus. He said, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might." In other words, lean into God's strength. And then to the Corinthians, he said, "Be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like warriors and be strong. Let all you do be done in love." And Jesus said this, "I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble or tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." The last word belongs to Christ our Lord. And so when we think about these Beatitudes, they're practical and they're short and they're succinct, but they're also powerful and they're a challenge to us. And I think the only way we can really live them out is to allow Christ's Spirit to come into our hearts and lives and to gradually transform us into the image of Christ, not through our willpower, but through God's Spirit at work in us, just like a seed that's planting in us through God's Spirit. Jesus ended this section with two great metaphors. He said this, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on a lampstand, that it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." We need to allow our lights to shine. And sometimes it seems like in a world that sometimes is full of darkness and difficulty that our light is just a small candle, but the small candle can make a big difference. I want to close with this thought. There was this artist, and he was painting this painting, and it was a painting of a dark forest in the middle of a winter night, and it was dreary, and in the middle of that forest was a little cottage with darkened windows, and it looked awfully dark and dreary, but with the last stroke of the artist's brush, he painted a little candle in the window of that cottage, and somehow that cold, dreary winter night was transformed into a painting that had some warmth and some love and some care to it. And I think in the same way, sometimes we think we're just one candle in the world. But the truth is, one candle can light the darkest night in a powerful way. And together, you and I, as sisters and brothers in Christ, can make a difference in our world. And so Jesus challenges in all these, and we can plant seeds of peace, both near and far. And you and I, if we have to stand up for what is right, know that Christ is there standing beside us through all these things. And we should stand with sisters and brothers around the world in solidarity, knowing that we can stand up for justice and things are right, even if it means difficulty for us. Will you join me in prayer? Gracious God, sometimes the night does seem dark. Difficulty and adversity surround us, but you're there with us. And with your help and your Spirit, we can become lights in your world. So help us to stand for what is right. Help us to open our hearts and lives that we would feel peace between ourselves and you, for you offer us forgiveness and grace through Christ our Lord, who gave his life on Calvary, that we could know forgiveness in your loving grace. Help us to stand up for what is right, even if that cost us some persecution. And help us to remember in prayer and support those around our world who are persecuted for their faith. Help us each and every day to grow in faith and plant seeds that make a difference in a world, that together we can light the night as candles of faith. We pray this through the power and glory of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.